Morning, church.
Buenos dias, iglesia.
Let's go into this morning's lessons. And I want to begin with three, I guess, philosophical questions, perhaps. Three questions that we might not ask ourselves very easily. The first question is, does Jesus need any help? Second question, is there any way to bless the Lord? Third question, can we inform God about anything? Let's go to the first question. Does Jesus Christ need any help? I think we initially say no. He's part of who God is. He did the job himself. Indeed, on the cross, he said, "It is finished." As to say, job well done. Can we add anything to what Christ is trying to do? Is there something that he requires of us? Is he lacking in anything so that he would desire us to help him with something? Or could we bless the Lord? Bless implies that upon that blessing, they are in an improved state than before. Like, I am who I am, but if somebody blesses me, then I am better at something. I am better doing something. Can we in some way improve the condition of God? Adding a blessing to God's life. As if to say, Lord, I will bless you right now. I'm going to do something by which after what I do, you are in a better state. Isn't God complete where he is? Isn't he perfect? Does he need to be blessed by us? And the third, maybe the most controversial idea, can we inform God about anything? We love to think and love to say that God knows everything. God knows what's going to happen before it happens. God knows our hearts and whatever we're going to do before we do it. But is there a time we can actually inform the Lord about something? Let him know something? As if he did not know it beforehand? As if something had to take place by which God can have confidence in something? I would argue that for all three of these questions, the answer is yes. Yes, even the last one, I believe there's a way we can inform God about things. And these ideas are not purely philosophical. These ideas we can find in the Word of God. And here's why. We may like to think of God as being far away, perfect, complete, needing nothing, all to himself, holy and righteous. And guess what? All those things are true about God. But there's more to God than that, because God has made it very clear to us from the entire Bible, in the Word of God, and through his Son Jesus, that he wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to be close to us. He wants us to feel linked to him. And that requires vulnerability. Any relationship, anytime you want to have a relationship with somebody, it requires vulnerability. It requires being open. It requires allowing oneself to be talked to, allowing oneself to be blessed, allowing oneself to be hurt as well. And I would argue, I would prove to you today that God has allowed himself to be in that condition with us so that, yes, we can hurt him. He can feel sad by what we have done, but we can also help him. We can also bless him. We can also let him know things, because I believe God has placed himself for us, because of us, through love of us, desiring to be with us. So let's talk about how we can actually help the Lord, help Jesus. Go with me to Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. We begin to see that through love, God is letting himself be blessed by us, letting himself be vulnerable to us, allowing himself, God will allow himself to be in a condition by which we can hurt him or bless him. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne, seemingly very far away, right? But watch this. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. There really is no biblical thing, anti-goat biblical idea. It's just that this is symbolic. Sheep seem to obey whatever you tell them to obey, and goats are always rather stubborn. So spiritually speaking, those who are doing what is right are called sheep. Those who are not doing what is right are called goats. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Then he says, for I was hungry, he says. For I was hungry, and you fed me. God himself says, I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. God says, I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. God is placing himself, he's saying, I was vulnerable. I was in a state at one point in your life, I was in the state of needing help. God himself? And I was naked, he says, and he gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Our obvious question is, in what time, God, Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, Creator of all things, were you ever sick? Were you ever in a place I can even do anything for you? And God says this in reply, these righteous ones will say, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink or a stranger and show you hospitality or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison or visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. We might want to over-symbolize that and say, well, God didn't really mean that. What he meant was he was kind of there, and no, I don't want to do that. I want to read it for what it says. He says that in our action of helping other people, of serving other people, of perhaps thinking about the homeless person, of perhaps thinking about the stranger, of feeding the poor, we are in reality doing that to the Lord and for the Lord. Because God, in his love for mankind, has oftentimes in history, but is placing himself in a position to be helped by us, to be loved by us, to be vulnerable to us. And why? Because he loves us. Because he wants to have a relationship with us, which opens him up to being abused. Because we're going to read later on how, unfortunately, the other side of free will, of being vulnerable, of lowering oneself to be with each other, could also mean bad things happen. Because check this out. Then the king would turn to those on the left, say, away with me, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire, prepare for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. How often do we try to separate people we see in the streets from God? People who are poor and homeless from the Lord. How often do you want to judge them and view them as being less than us? How often do we want to separate ourselves from these people? God is saying, I am these people. I am them. If you help them, you're helping me. If you don't help them, you're not helping me. So let us be very, very careful judging those in a bad condition. And saying, well, that's because you have fill in the blank. That's because you are crazy or don't have enough money or weren't educated enough or didn't try hard enough. God has chosen to link himself to these people. And he will answer, I tell you the truth. Well, they will reply, these evil people, when did this happen? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? Because I would have helped you if I knew you were God. I would have been there if I knew you were, it was special. I didn't know. And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these brothers and sisters, you're refusing to help me. As I've always said, God tells us from the very beginning what's going to happen. He lets us know from the start what's going to take place. And so he's telling us right now, these people you see who are in these bad conditions are me. Just so you know. And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. So yes, we can actually help the Lord. We can actually help God based upon his own choice. Can we bless the Lord? Can we bless him? Can we the problem is that God is so, what do you give the person who has everything, right? How can I give God anything that he would say, thank you for? Or, I did not have that before you gave it to me. Can I do anything like that? Again, if God wanted to remain in that station, that's the truth. He's too far away from us. But God desires to be linked to us. And so therefore, he has allowed us the ability to bless him. One of those routes is praising God. This is why I tell people, when you come to church, sing songs, sing. That is the way God has allowed us to bless him. God said, praise me. So we can bless him. We can give him something. Let's read Psalm 103. Psalm 103 together. No blasphemy here. This is the word of God. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all of our iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. He's saying he deserves this blessing. Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. That's awesome, isn't it? He can renew our youth. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the son of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He would not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Basically, he's saying he's not yet given us what we deserve. We heard earlier, we don't deserve all these blessings. We don't at all. He has not yet, because of his mercy, given us what we deserve. However, the Bible does very clear, if we keep on doing what is wrong, he will give us what we deserve. But he's saying he's slow to do these things. He's compassionate, slow to give us what we deserve in life. He says, verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removes our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. The word fear is also respect. This isn't the scaredy cat fear. This is, I respect you. I honor you. I respect who you are in my life. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. It's true. We're but dust. From dust we came, to dust we return. What are we that we should deserve this love? And yet God loves us. And it says, as for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. It's like David saying, let me give you an argument as to why and as to how you can bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. God is happy to be blessed. That's the point. We add upon his life happiness. He has joy from us. We can make him happy. He can smile based upon our loving and our serving and our righteousness and our long-suffering and our patience. He is happy as a result. You know why? Because he loves us. Again, if we are apathetic about something, we are not made happy about that thing. I give the old example, the NASCAR example. Out here, not many folks care about NASCAR. So if I told you who won the latest NASCAR event, many of us would say they wouldn't smile about it. Who cares? I can tell you that my team, the New York Knicks, got R.J. Barrett from number 3 pick. I am happy about this. You know why? I'm from New York. I love the New York Knicks. But some, yeah, you guys aren't smiling. Yeah, you're smiling. Very few are smiling about that. You know why? Because y'all don't care about the Knicks. That's fine. But when you love something, you care for something. And God loves us, and so he cares about us, and he wants us. He has allowed himself to be pleased by us through that love. So yes, we can bless the Lord. We can. He deserves it. He deserves our praise, our honor, our work, our service. He has allowed us the ability to add something to his life. Most controversial, and I'm sure I have a few comments after the sermon about this, but I'm ready. Is that we can inform God. We can inform the Lord. We can actually let God know something that before we did this thing was not known. Or should I say, he wasn't sure if he'd go a certain way or not. We can inform God, let him know something. Again, I'm just going to read the word of God. Let's go through a few verses here because it is a bit controversial. But I think this is part of God's vulnerability that he lets us inform him of things. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. He's telling the old Israelites a long time ago. He says, all the commandments that I have commanding you to do today, be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. He says, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you keep his commands or not. What a strange series of words there, because we say, well, God knows everything. God knows what we're going to do. God knows our hearts. He's saying here, let's read it again. I'm going to test you, because you give tests to see if someone has studied enough. You give tests. I mean, what if our teachers assumed that we knew our material? Wouldn't that be great? A teacher said, you know what? I think you know your material. You pass. We think God's like that way, but even God has to test us. Even God has to figure out. He says, I'm going to humble you, test you to know what was in your heart, whether you keep your commandments or not. Do we have a problem with that? Do we have a problem with free will? If we truly have free will, if God has allowed us true free will, then we can truly decide to do whatever we want to do. And it is not in the control of God. If we truly have free will, or is God fooling around with us, or is God making a joke? Was God not quite honest about that? But we see here that people have the choice to let God know whether or not they are true or not. And it is done by their actions, and God has to see that to know for himself. Again, Genesis 18, 20 and 21. Another verse. Genesis 18, 20 and 21. Sodom and Gomorrah. The rumors were bad things were happening there. But what's funny about that, it seems like God had to figure out for sure himself. Very interesting, another interesting verse here. Genesis 18, 20 and 21. Then the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now, he says, and see if they had done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know. Like, God, couldn't you be in heaven and figure that out? Why do you have to come to earth to figure it out? Why do you have to send people to know what's going on there? What's going on here? Do you not know everything? I believe God knows everything. But in his desire to be real with us, in his desire to be linked to us, he's allowing himself to be open to us changing, to us being truly what we are or not. Patient with us, allowing himself to be hurt or to be impressed by our actions. I have more than Old Testament examples because the classic 2 Timothy 2:15 says the same exact thing. 2 Timothy 2:15, we know what it says in the KJV, study to show thyself approved, a workman. And I must admit, I've always assumed that approval was people around you. Study to show yourself approved to those around you. Make sure that when you preach, you study kind of thing. Make sure that when you do a sermon and people come at you after the class that you know what you're going to say about it, okay? Study to show yourself approved. But upon further reading in various translations and in context, that verse actually says, study to show yourself approved by God, that God will know that you're somebody that could actually correctly handle the words of truth. God's got to figure out, God's got to see if we are truly workmen or not. 2 Timothy 2:15, let's read it here. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. God has to see. God has to know. Were we not approved before? Maybe technically, we were approved technically before. But are we real Christians? Okay, maybe we got baptized and technically speaking, we've done what was right. But until we do things and show it and prove our righteousness, God doesn't quite know if it's real or not. This is why we go through tests. This is why God can appear silent at times. This is why we have to go through what we go through and endure things, because God wants to know, to be informed as to if we are real or not. This may go against your ideas of free will. It may. This may go against your ideas of knowledge and predestination. It might, but not mine. For me, it's not a matter of whether God knows or not knows. God knows every single possible future we could possibly choose. He knows every variation, every complication there is. But we choose which one to take. And that is what God wants to see. And so I pray every single one of us here, when we have the chance and opportunity to do what is wrong, that we prove to God that we're going to do what is right and be blessed as a result. If you choose not to, we're going to hurt the Lord. Again, I would argue, if we know what's going to happen beforehand, especially millennia beforehand, we will not be hurt by the results. If the future is just as clear to us as anything else, then when it happens, will we be so hurt by it? And yet when we sin, God is shown to cry about it. He is grieved over it. He is upset. He is angry, as if he's surprised what happened, as if he had other expectations. God in the Bible appears disappointed with us, which means he thought we could do better. We have that open and complete free will to do what is right. Let's show God the truth. Let's show God what it's all about. We have our choice this day at this time. So yes, indeed, Christ does need help. Yes, indeed, we can bless the Lord. And yes, we can show God something and inform him of something. And why? Because he is vulnerable to us. That being said, the example of God is what we should copy. I pray we are also vulnerable to each other. In the very same way, we cannot hope to have a united, loving, open, repenting church if we're not vulnerable to each other. It's one thing to be vulnerable to God. If I go to God and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins, Lord, I will go to you. And Lord, between you and me, God, we have to be correct. That's hard enough to do. But what's really hard is being that way with human beings, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and saying, I'm going to be open. I'm going to confess to you. I need your help. I need blessings from you. I got to prove myself to each other as well. I want to be open to everybody here. But I told people before, and I'll say it again, that some of the greatest things in the world come from church. Yesterday was an example of why I love church. Yesterday, it was just, it's just great. It was just great. It was wonderful. You just saw how wonderful God is. But I must also say, some of the worst pains also come from church. I can even say the worst pains in my life have also come from church. Some of those pains have been so bad, I've attempted to say, you know what? I will close myself off now from church. I will only talk to certain people in church, have certain friends, certain cliques, because I don't want to let myself be hurt, bothered, disappointed, angry by certain members of the body of Christ. As soon as we do that, we are limiting our own growth. We're limiting church growth. If our church is composed only of people who are like us, church is not going to grow. We have to be vulnerable to each other. Unlock our hearts again to one another and say, despite that pain, Lord, forgive, Lord, heal me of that pain. Let me once again be open to the body of Christ so that I may also enjoy how great the church can be. Be vulnerable to each other. You know, if anybody still got a problem with God being vulnerable, lest we forget the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is the ultimate example of Jesus Christ, of God coming to earth. And the Bible says very clearly, again, if we have problems with these things, remember the Bible says about God that he came to earth and he emptied himself of his power on purpose to come in the form of man, allowing himself to be crucified by human beings on the cross because he wanted so badly to be linked to us. The Bible says that at one point, Jesus Christ was 12 years old and he was growing in knowledge. So yes, indeed, Jesus Christ was growing in information at some point, growing up, growing into what he would become, the all-knowing God. That's how vulnerable he made himself for us. Not a surprise. It's not crazy. It's because of that vulnerability we have a chance to go to heaven. It's because he said that the fact that we can go to heaven is because he decided to become vulnerable for us on that cross so that if we believe in him and are baptized in the name of Jesus, we can have everlasting life. That we are people who could be called sheep and, if you will, pay it back to God to bless him back, help him back through our actions and through our service. Let us be vulnerable to each other again. And also, please accept God's open heart to us, because through the open heart, we have a chance to go to heaven. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.